Where is he?
Where are you?
Skull Rock. Do you know it?
Hello, this is Stacy over at the Skull Rock broadcast. I am joined by...
Hello, this is Megan. Welcome back to our Stranger Things podcast, where we talk not just about the show, but also about pop culture surrounding the show, including, you know, our fave right now, Joe. How's it going, Stacy?
It's going pretty great. I'm really actually excited for when this episode comes out because we were actually able to have this really cool conversation that we recorded during the first weekend that The Crux came out. And kind of what we were able to do was just talk about first impressions, overall vibe of the album, and just kind of, you know, go back and forth talking about which songs really stood out to us. But you actually planned something really special throughout this episode as well. What's that?
Yeah. So as we kind of thought about this, we've been talking to a lot of people about Joe's music and about the new album and the tour, and it's been super fun. But we wanted to be able to hear from more people and hear their first impressions of the album as well. So we were able to get more people to send in their thoughts. And so this episode is going to be our conversation, but also interspersed with voice memos from other Joe fans, our friends, people who listen to our show, and what they thought of it as well.
Kind of a cool way to show, to share our appreciation for how much work and time that's gone into this album with Joe and his team.
Yeah, and it is just crazy that we've been anticipating this tour and this new album for so long and just wishing for it to happen, and it's finally here. So we've been having a blast talking about the album, and we're definitely super excited, like a lot of people, to see Joe live soon. So
can't wait.
I'm sure we'll have lots more to say after those shows.
Absolutely.
All right. So do you want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Hi there, my name's Taylor and I am from Canada. My first reaction to the album was it felt like I was getting the music that I always say I wish I was around for in the 70s and 80s that I'm getting it now. And it was really refreshing and exciting, and I found myself seeing influences that Joe has talked about having, like clear as day, even though they're distinct in his own. And I think it was honestly a very like well put together album, and I really enjoyed it, and I was really excited. I stayed up and listened to it with a friend when it came out, and you know, like it was a really special experience, and I'm really excited to see it live in a couple weeks. So yeah, my first reaction was just it was absolutely incredible and breathtaking and beautiful and authentic, and yeah, it was really great.
Hey Skull Luck Broadcast, this is Kate, and I think we needed Joe's new album, The Crux, so desperately with all that's going on in our country right now. We just needed an album to be upbeat, optimistic, and just fun, and not with the fake auto-tune sea of music that we have there today. There is some good stuff, but I haven't loved an album this much in years. I think this is his best album yet. 2020 is my second fave of his. It's just nice to kind of get away what's going on in the world and just enjoy our sweet baby Joe. New music hasn't put a smile on my face in a long time, and you can just tell he's actually deep. He thinks carefully over his lyrics and doesn't care if it goes viral. He just wants his original fans to love his new work, and we do. My fave song on the new album is Lonesome is a State of Mind. Sadly, I won't be seeing him in concert, but I look forward to your recap on his concert. Love you, ladies. Bye.
But it was funny because I have never, even as we're breaking apart Decide has been very close to my heart. It is my favorite album. And, you know, that was the album that kind of got things kicked off and, you know, people to discover him. And, you know, putting, you know, Decide on a shelf, like, yeah, you know, we started kind of discussing like, oh, you know, there's a lot of synthesizer. It kind of sounds a little 80s, you know, it kind of sounds, you know, like, now that I know how to say it, Daft Punk, you know, it sounds like this or that. This one, it was probably like one or two songs in, and right away I was like, what is this reminding me of? And I kept doing that. And yeah. I had to listen to it multiple times over the weekend because I kept going. And then literally, like, if anybody saw my Instagram post, my own social, I was like, it reminds me of my mom, because my mom loved music and she grew up in the 60s and 70s and she used to like be blasting it on the sound system. And it was always these little music notes and the, you know, the way a certain musician would, you know, their art, you know, their voice would sound. And I was like, oh my gosh, who would have loved this album? And I'm like, maybe it's just like him paying tribute to, you know,
his parents' music, like the music exactly. He was like raised on. And I think
what shaped him.
Yes, because we're similar ages to him. Like I've said before, he's the age of my youngest brother. Mm-hmm. Our parents, like my parents, that was like the music that they listened to from like the 60s and 70s. And I always loved that music too. I thought it was
big
so
time.
Cool. And like my parents also listened to a lot of country music when I was growing up, which I think I've told you this before, which
adorable.
I appreciate country music, especially like from the 90s and stuff. Like but I was always so excited when they turned on something else, like turned on some rock and roll, like
and some the classics, like, oldies.
Yes, like, and I was like, let's have a break from this country music. So like when we were like, you know, listening to Hotel California, like Eagles. Stuff like that, like American Pie, like that was the stuff that I was like, Dad, why don't we listen to this all the time?
But I'm telling you, like right away I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because you know he's dropping bands that right away I'm like, wow, you know, for your age clearly he's very cultured music wise I mean, I think like I'm more of a movie gal, but I would literally love to just geek out and like hear him talk about music for like hours. So I'm going to show you real quick. There is, so I put it into two categories. The 70s and the late 60s, I think, was very obviously the theme of this.
Okay.
And I was like, I was getting a lot of Tom Petty vibes, Refugee. And then there's some notes of Last Dance with Mary Jane.
Ooh.
So I was thinking late Beatles, which before we started recording, I discovered that Megan loves the Beatles. I had no fucking clue. Maybe going Blackbird. But
I do
late
love the
Beatles, which we will have to go into. The Rolling Stones.
Well, and I've said before that his music, even Flash Mountain, we were talking about Flash Mountain.
Yep.
So like back in 2020, that album had very like Sgt. Pepper's
Let Go
My Heart's Club. Like that. Yep. This album, like even more, I hear that.
They turned it up to 11, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Because right away I was like, oh, kind of like the Beach Boys and stuff. And then when you said the Sgt. Pepper's one, I went, oh, okay.
Yeah. But the Beach Boys, I hear the Beach Boys a little bit.
A little bit, like an F flavor. Early Police, I'm personally a big fan of like 80s and 90s Police. To be completely honest, I'm going to name an 80s one, but you're going to suddenly go like, oh, yeah, sure. Two different ones, Synchronicity, and Everything She Does Is Magic, and Message in a Bottle. Message in a Bottle probably sounds the most like Joe, just the beat. Fleetwood Mac, Mamas and the Papas, The Cars, which I will tell you, like, I heard so much of Take It Off, right? Shake It Off, and Magic, that's very Joe-esque. Supertramp, which of course Breakfast in America or Take the Long Road Home, Long Way Home. Van Morrison. Now that was the one that kind of like choked me up, because my mom was a huge Van Morrison fan. And constantly we had Jackie Wilson. We had, let's see, because I just downloaded a bunch of it. I was like, damn you, Joe, you're making me get into all this music again. It Stoned Me, Moondance, and Into the Mystic. Constantly on a loop. And like Brown Eyed Girl, which I'll never forget when my
It's like one of my absolute favorite songs.
My sister was going to use that as her like father-daughter dance. And they're like, oh, yeah, to pay tribute to mom. It'll be so cute because, you know, we have brown eyes. Me, I shouldn't have said anything because I'm an asshole. I go, isn't there a lyric about making love in the green, green grass? That quickly got shut down. Yeah.
I feel like you were, that's such a mean thing for you to do. I didn't really have like a big wedding, but we had like a backyard party, and my father-daughter dance was In My Life by the Beatles. And I feel
that
like
that
can sort of be like a love song too, but like it doesn't have to be, right?
Exactly.
Like
that kind of love. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's so cute. Oh my God. I'm going to cry. Billy Joel, definitely. A little bit of Rush. Springsteen, obviously. Dabs of the Who and Elton John, which him in that interview with Elton John.
I know.
Elton has been literally repping his music off that little like radio streaming thing he does. He's been a fan, like, I think before even End of Beginning really took off.
Yeah.
And just, you can see that Joe Keery is like cheesing hard, but trying to like keep himself
composed. Like, I don't know what I would do. Like, if I got to speak to Elton John, like.
Oh my, him going, you're a great songwriter. I'm like.
To get that praise from that man, like. It just, like, it's insane.
I'm sorry. One of the most romantic love songs is your song.
That is, like, one of my all-time favorite love songs for sure. But it partially has to do with Moulin Rouge, so.
Ewan just running around with that umbrella? Sold. But literally, like, Neil Diamond and Barry Manilow, I'm like, this is freakish. Like,
yeah.
If somebody played that for, like, somebody our parents' age, they'd go, this Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck? But I saw that, like, dashes, like I said, of Elton, ABBA.
ABBA. Love ABBA.
Come on,
man.
Now.
Who doesn't?
The band, which literally, it's called The Band, but it's the song,
oh, yeah,
The
yeah,
Wait.
Yeah. That's a great song.
Isn't that such a good song?
Yes.
I got kind of that beat. Obviously, Octopus Garden. Bowie's Heroes, not to be mixed up with our Peter Gabriel.
Yep.
So, like, lots and lots of things like that. So, I'm going to save the 90s kind of, like, things I heard. But I felt like that was very 70s-esque because it was almost like a love letter to what shaped him as a lover of music.
Yeah.
What did you hear?
Yeah. I mean, you got most of them. I feel like the only ones that I specifically, I have to go back to like the text messages that I was sending you as I was like listening.
You were so adorable. I was like, we are cheesing hard and I'm having so much fun.
Like the Beatles songs that I thought of right away were Till There Was You, which the Beatles covered this, but it was in the musical The Music Man, which I only know because we did that when I was in high school.
So they covered that.
Yeah, the Beatles version is a cover because it's an older song.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yep. And then, oh, The Long and Winding Road.
Which I don't think I've heard.
No?
Ooh, no.
Good one.
Yeah?
Really good one. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like you got all, I mean, that was a massive list. I feel like you got a lot of the bands that I was thinking of.
Right away, the spirit
you
of my late
Fleetwood
mother.
Mac, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Obviously. Like Fly, I think, is very Fleetwood Mac. That's the one that I heard Fleetwood Mac the most on.
That what's that like iconic one that they always like sing, shout to each other? Silver Springs?
Yes. The one there, that's been like trending recently on like...
Them like, just screaming at each other.
Which Silver Springs was, fun fact, named after a town in Maryland that they were like passing on the highway. But it's actually just Silver Spring, Maryland. There's no S on the end.
So, really?
Yeah, they misremembered.
But yeah, like my favorite Fleetwood Mac song is The Chain, which...
Yeah, I think that one is like... I mean, the link in The Chain, like it's like even like the...
Dude.
The words in the song, because that's like he talks about a winding road in one of the songs, like, so he's even like kind of pulling and like Charlie's Garden, the octopus's garden, like
it's
I
so
mean
cute.
It's so
it's
cute.
So cute.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Abby from Swiftlore Podcast. I could talk about the Crux for way longer than 2 minutes, but to keep it abridged, this album has revitalized something in me that I didn't realize I needed to bring life to again. I listened to a lot of the Beatles and Electric Light Orchestra and Queen and David Bowie growing up, and I can just hear and feel the inspiration of those artists into this album. And I also love music where you can just tell how much passion and thought went into it. There's so many production choices and harmonies and sound effects like sirens and clicking of cameras and the voicemail message from Charlie Heaton and all of these little things that come together to make this album an experience that you can really connect to and immerse yourself in. I am so blown away. I've been blown away since I heard it at Generation Records. It's just... there's something truly so special about it. And that's coming from someone who loved and loves Decide, which I also think is a masterpiece. But this just has this different element to it of it is so authentically Joe. He's not hiding behind as much, like, he did a lot of distorted vocals on Decide and like electric music. And this is more acoustic. And you can also tell the collaboration that went into it. He worked with his friends and his loved ones. He worked with children's choirs. He used various instruments, and he had a blast making it. So I'm really grateful for this album. I think it's awesome. I can't wait to cover it on our podcast. Spoiler alert, we will. And thank you for giving all of us the opportunity to talk about it with you guys too. All right, bye.
All right, do you want to go song by song and just like some initial reactions? And like I said, I'm in my text message chain that I was looking at that I sent to Stacey as I was listening to it. Now, not for the first time, because I did hear it at the listening party.
Yes.
But it was like that day when it came out when I was finally listening to it again.
With headphones on.
Yes, you know? Exactly. With these exact headphones on.
Look at you, girl. Which, like, without going into it, because I only got a few, but, like, I did hear a little bit of 90s, which I know he's a 90s baby. It would have been probably early aughts. But, you know, Pearl Jam, Bare Naked Ladies, Matchbox 20, Soundgarden, Dave Matthews Band, 90s Tom Petty. So yeah. Little things like that that probably his parents still liked, his sisters liked, and that he kind of grew up with. But
yeah.
I feel like this is a very 60s, 70s love letter to my parents. Classics.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Lonesome State of Mind.
Lonesome is a state of mind.
It's not Lonesome State of Mind. It's Lonesome is a state of mind.
I think so.
Literally, I'm going to be like, hello, did Joe? When I, you know,
you might
shake
be right.
his hand.
Hold on. No, it's Lonesome is a state of mind. I love when I'm right.
It happens a lot because Stacey, you know, Stacey. So I said, I did hear a little bit in the intro Moby, and now that I know how to, you know, pronounce it, Daft Punk, on the dog line, broke my fucking heart.
Yeah, my dog is at the house, but I live somewhere else. Is that the line?
Yeah, I was like,
basically, I don't have the lyrics in front of me. Yeah,
that's tough. That's tough.
So with that song for me at the listening party, I was like, what is this? I know this. Like, where? What? What is this little melody? Like, And then I again heard it when I was listening to it for the first time. And it sounds a lot like Dancing in the Moonlight. The little like twinkly like sound.
King
like,
Harvest. The...
Yes.
Yeah. It's only, yeah. Oh my God.
It's like so, so similar. And it was like haunting me because I was like, I know this. Like, and I feel like a lot of the whole album for all of us, it's like you feel like you know it already. Like,
exactly.
Which
You've
is
heard
so
this.
Cool. And obviously, he's not copying any of it, but it just, he puts all of this like
these
inspiration
little like, exactly.
And, like,
little
yeah.
Taste.
Yeah. And it just like, it creates that connection. Like, So it like instantly draws you in because you're like, oh, I know this. Like this.
Yeah, I think I've heard like something similar to a beat like this, but not quite.
And it's so funny because doesn't he have a lyric in one of the songs? Maybe
I've heard this
one?
Song
I've
before.
I've heard this song before.
That
I've
was literally Megan.
Yeah. I was like,
Megan's
why?
Like, King Harvest.
What is he talking? Why is he like reading my mind right now?
Because when you texted that to me, I didn't realize you meant the like the little twinkle thing, which that's the perfect way to describe that, you know, little piano note.
Yeah.
But literally, I was like, yeah, actually, like, I used to love that song. Still do. It's on my phone. And I'm like, that's just such a one of those happy, like, uplifting 70s songs that make you want to dance. And I'm like, huh. So the fact that you caught that, that's amazing, dude.
And there's a reference to being 29 in that song as well.
Which I picked up on that. And then I like not to interpretate. I was like, you know, it could have been an important age of change for him. But also, I feel like at 29, you're on the verge of being 30.
Yeah.
And you're constantly, you know, changing your life. You know, you could be at a crossroads and stuff. You know, I don't think 30 is the scary age, guys. It's 40 when I hit 40. We're not, I'm just going to stop aging.
I'm going to
die at 39.
Just see ya. Bye.
Yes. Delete ya. This was an emotional album. Like, I will fully admit, I never kind of like got choked up or anything with Decide. I just love Decide.
Oh, but and then this, he says, sorry, whew. He says it again. Yeah. He says, I've shot this picture before. Tell me, what's that song? It's killing me.
That's literally you. Like, that's Megan. You've heard it here first, guys. That was her with King Harvest. She's like,
yeah.
What's like, that twinkling?
Like, was he, is that what he was like going for here? Like, yeah, it's 29 and misaligned. Like, that's such a good line.
That's really good.
Oh, yeah. We got to like stop because we're going to talk too much and then we're going to
about one particular song. Yeah.
Anything left when we actually like deep dive on this song.
Hey, my name is Haley Ferris. I am 15 years old. And really my first impression of listening to The Crux was that it was just like a really, really comforting album to listen to, I guess. Because whenever I'm like feeling sad or whenever I just like want to be like in silence, like in quiet places, but I don't want it to be like completely silent, I guess, I've listened to that album and well, I think that it's like so comforting, I guess, the album is. And the song, I think the lyrics are really, really nice and sweet too, because well, they have nice messages that make me feel good, I guess. And well, yeah, that's kind of my opinion on The Crux, is that I think that it's really comforting to listen to, and it's really, really kind and sweet. And I know that sounds a little corny, but I guess that's my opinion on The Crux.
Hey friends, it's Jen. So what are my thoughts on The Crux? I'm completely in awe of this album, and I really mean that sincerely. Every track is a little window into a story about Joe's life. Whether it's pain or happiness or appreciation of the people that are around him, it's a little window in, and the veil seems to have completely come off. And it's kind of a beautiful thing considering the success of his song End of Beginning and how that kind of went viral, and he had really no control over any of that, that the universe sort of said, okay, it's time to reveal yourself. And he kind of went balls to the wall and just went ahead and did that. It's just a beautiful album. There's so many tracks on it that really resonate with me specifically. I really love the track Back on You. It's just such, it's so put together and produced so well. And then, of course, I love all the poppy hits, like Basic Being Basic. And yeah, it's just a beautiful package of created craft that he's done here. And I'm so incredibly proud that he has been able to have this success. So thank you for letting me share my thoughts.
So we agreed that any song or single or thing that he had already performed, we're not going to cover, but Basic Being Basic, what a bop. Classic.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to say that it was so fun. I know, I mean, bummer that Stacey wasn't there, obviously, but we've established that. At the listening party, like, everybody knew the words to Basic Being Basic, right? So, like, obviously it's going to be even better at, like, a concert, but, like,
oh, yeah,
everybody was already singing along to this song.
Already.
Yeah. It was so fun.
That's why I literally, like, you know, speaking of my late mother again, she used to always talk about how dancing at the discos was so much fun and stuff, especially when you're with your friends and everyone's watching. She used to always say, music is magic.
Yeah.
It can, you know, really change, you know, help your mood and stuff. And she used to always say, because I remember like a friend of mine once got mad when we were in a road trip. Mind you, imagine doing a road trip with me. That poor guy didn't. It wasn't like, I'm surprised he didn't jump out, but I was singing along and he got pissed at me. So imagine 17-year-old Stacey. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, can't we just hear the artist sing? And I remember, so entitled, I was gagged. I went home to Mama Still and I was like, can you believe what an asshole he was? And my mom went, I actually like the sound of happiness. And that's what it is. If you're singing along and you're happy and you're with more and more people singing along, the vibes of that room are going to be lifted.
No, that's, my husband has never, ever told me to stop singing along in the car. And that's one of the things I love most about him. So.
Hey there, this is Emily with Basically Being Besties. My first impression of The Crux is how much heart and soul it possesses. Joe is such a master at meaningful lyrics and songs that have a powerful punch. It's impossible not to dance around to Lean. I hear definitely inspirations from The Cars, as well as the next My Sharona. Fly and Egg definitely made me cry my eyes out, just how vulnerable and how honest he is with his journey so far. It's definitely a cathartic roller coaster and experience, a true masterpiece of an album. I dare you not to have the best time listening to Back on You, from the chorus at the very beginning to the last 30 seconds where all you want to do is rock out. This is the best Joe yet. Lots of love to you, Mr. Kiri. keep it up.
My name is Casey, and well, these are my thoughts on Joe's new album. When I met him last October at the Upside Down convention, I told him, you know, I kept it short, but I told him a few just details about how his album, you know, Decide, got me through things. And he told me, well, if you like that so much, you're really gonna love my new one. So, you know, here we are now. Crux is out. I was so tired when it dropped. Like, so tired, I was barely awake. Yet my ass was up and waiting until it came on Apple Music, and I played through every song despite being so exhausted. I could barely, like, you know, I could barely comprehend most of them. But here I am now, and I will say straight up, he was not lying. Yeah, I love it more than I love Decide, and the songs on here now especially are very helpful, even more so with more healing processes that I'm currently going through personally. So yeah, I personally love Link, Egg, Basic Being Basic, of course, Back on You, Golden Line made me cry, okay, like straight up tears. I think a lot of people get why, but yeah, that is what I've been thinking with the Crux, and I'm happy to be able to share some of my thoughts. Miss you both, because I have met you in person.
Hey everyone, it's Jen. So for me, my first impression of the Crux was basically mind-blowing. The whole album, every song had a different sound, it had a different meaning in his life, and he has very well expressed that. I think for a lot of us, you know, Golden Line definitely made a lot of us cry. I know for me, some of my personal favorites right now are definitely Link, Egg, and Fly. Then my favorite most upbeat song, I would have to say, is Charlie's Garden. And I went back and I listened to, you know, 2020 and Decide, and I think he had a lot more fun making the Crux, because, you know, he's coming out of his shell. He's like, this is me. We all know it. And I just am beyond proud. I can't even put it into words. I'm stumbling. Beyond proud of how well he has done. As a musician, he's wanted to do a tour for so long, and he's finally achieving that, and we get to go on this journey with him. And I personally cannot wait to see what else he has in store for us.
All right, so I have to say, top three. This was probably one of my favorite. Link.
Okay, Link is second for me, so yes. That's not what I expected your favorite to be. I expected
it to be
later.
Wait until you hear the other two.
Later, yeah.
I said one of my favorites, I feel like Anxiety, Crossroads, Becoming an Adult, gave me Major the Car vibes. Like I said, Take Me Now, Shake It Off, Magic, the J. Giles Band, Centerfold. And then My Sharona, which Emily actually brought this up, by The Knack, early to mid pop punk bands as well, because that's kind of when he was right behind us and we were growing up as teenagers going to concerts.
Boom. Look at you.
Look at me.
So I related to this song because I did graduate second in my class.
No, you did not.
I did. But we all asked Joe in the Spotify listening party if he actually graduated top of his class, and he said no. And that he got bad grades, but he had decent charisma. That was his response.
But you know what? I love it. He's the songwriter. So if he wants to make that the lyric.
Yeah. And I get it. It's a fun lyric because it's like, I graduated furthest from last, but why do I feel so bad? Like, and that's like so relatable. So fucking relatable. So, of course, I'm going to like want to go too deep into the lyrics here, and we'll save that. But the other thing, my initial thought about this, if you listen at 1:30,
okay,
it is so similar to The Middle by Jimmy Eat World. It's like you have to listen, like put on this song, listen to it a little bit, and then put on the middle. It's like
I did that Friday when you told me to. Yeah,
like I'm like, wait,
it's almost
I know
like that
this.
Fast progression.
Yeah. And it's like that sound of like anxiety, basically, but like
spiraling.
And that's like we were talking about. It's a similar theme of that song too, because it's like that. Where's your future going? Like, why are like you're stuck? You feel stuck. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely loved that too.
Jimmy World.
No, I mean, who knows? Like, obviously, like he might not even that might not be intentional.
Could you imagine? He's like, what the fuck? And we're like, I'm sorry, we're a little bit older.
Come on, he has to know that song, right? I feel like everybody knows that song, right?
Between that and the Are You Listening and Bleed America, everybody knows those three songs.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
I saw them perform live.
Jimmy Eat World?
Yeah, they were opening for Green Day. They looked like ants. Me taking my disposable camera, I'm like, these are going to come out so good.
That is one of my all-time favorite songs, actually.
Really? I'm learning so much about
you
tonight.
I can sing every single word, so I'm not going to, I promise.
Damn it.
Hey guys, this is Emma Daniels. I go by The Opal on Instagram. Just to do a quick little breakdown, I'm going to say that my top songs right now are Link and Potion for the top two. And then for the top five, I'd say third is going to be Lonesome as a State of Mind. Then definitely going to be Back on You. And then I'm kind of conflicted. I actually think Crux is my fifth favorite out of the whole thing. They're all just fantastic, the whole album, and it's one of those albums that I like to listen to without shuffling, and I'm definitely, like, a shuffler. I always shuffle playlists. Constantly, I can't not shuffle a playlist, but this is one of those albums that I have been playing it on repeat, off of shuffle. I just love how each song goes into the next one. I love the vibe. I think they were really well placed together. And in what order they're in, and they're absolutely fantastic. I think when I first listened to through the whole album, Back on You is my favorite one, and it's still the song that I had claimed, but it's a personal song to me. I did dedicate it to my brother, and I showed my brother, and he absolutely loved it too. And I think it's still gonna always remain in my top five, but I'm definitely pretty obsessed with Link right now. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, this album is amazing. Joe did a fantastic job. Everyone that worked on it with him. It was so amazing getting to see it all live. And then Potion released when I was flying in and to Portland. And I love it. This whole album, it's fantastic. Chef's kiss. Beautiful job.
Hi, my name is Ray March, also known as Experiment 004 April on Insta and TikTok. Like many fans, I was introduced to Joe when he first appeared on screen as Steve Harrington on Stranger Things, and now, years later, I can also call myself a huge fan of his music. Joe has always put so much work and love in everything that he does, and with his music, especially this album, you can really feel that passion. I feel like he is steadily perfecting his craft, and we're all just in for the ride, and I'm personally enjoying every bit of it, and I cannot wait to see what else he does in the future. I'm not the only one that is enjoying it, however, as my newborn daughter, who is all of 12 days old as I'm recording this, is also absolutely loving it. Whenever I put the Crux on, I can put like on Potion and her eyes get so wide. She relaxes and she looks for where the music is coming from. And it's honestly just really adorable, to witness. So I love it. My baby loves it. My husband's chill about it. So Joe, keep doing what you're doing. And hopefully, I can see you the next tour.
I don't think we want to skip Potion because we'll say something briefly about it. It's really fun. It was already out. We had heard it before.
Full of whimsy.
A couple days before this came out. I think a lot of people were right away like, oh, there's a lot of Beatles vibes on this. And like,
I played it for Billy. Poor Billy. He right away went, this is like a Beatles song. And I'm like, but better.
Yeah. And then like, it only came out like a couple days before the whole album, but we had only gotten, you know, Delete Ya and Basic Being Basic. And those are like not really Beatles vibes.
No, so, those are probably the only two songs that I wouldn't say are like really like 70s or anything. Yeah. Like, yeah. They got themes, but for the most part, they almost are the two standalones. As soon as Potion hit, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And I love, yeah, I love the, like you said, the whimsical nature of that song.
Really, like, it's a cute, cute, like Charlie's Garden, like, happy song, you know?
Yes, for sure.
Jill from Jillustration Studio. My first impression of the Crux kind of happened in three stages because of each single. And right away, with Basic Being Basic, I was so excited because I was like, this might be better than Gloom for me. And Gloom was my all-time favorite song going up to this moment. And then when Delete Ya came out, it just crushed me in the best possible way. It was as if Joe crawled into my mind and wrote a song about the way I process grief and how it takes me longer than some people, and I will replenish and repeat, peep, peep, and I will definitely be thinking about it in happy moments. I'm out with friends, I'm out with loved ones, and boom, that moment will just hit you and come right back. And the album as a whole is just so beautiful. It's equal parts a breakup album, but also getting over that heartache and that support system and all of those around you that love you and support you and you love them. And it is filled with so many happy moments and so many love moments. And I will be playing this album on repeat for so long to come. Every song is brilliant. The more you listen to it, the more I fall in love with it. It's genius, it's relatable, and it's amazing.
And again, we have talked about Delete Ya. It's on the episode with Hannah Sarah, which hopefully will come out before this episode. I'm
We're a little behind on editing.
But Egg. Whew. So Egg.
Now, you said this was your favorite.
This was my favorite from the very first time I heard it at the listening party.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been processing it a little bit, and I actually wrote a post about it because I found that little clip of him saying that, like, somebody asked him what his favorite song on the album was, and he did this interview back when he was in France, I think, like, after the Laneway tours, and he said, like, it changes all of the time. So, like, he might have a different favorite by now. Who knows? But yeah. He was like, right now, I think my favorite is Egg, and he was talking about that song a little bit, and I was like, just kind of, like, I wrote a little bit of a long caption on that post, like, because I've been trying to process what I like so much about it. And I think that so many of the lyrics are so relatable, just about, yes, like, being afraid and feeling like you're not enough, feeling like that you're nothing special. And I know that, like, Brandy and I at the listening party, like, looked at each other like, shit, like, if you're, yep, nothing special, like,
girl,
who is?
Girl. Yeah.
But, like, I think that that's just so human and so relatable. And what I realized is that he's got a lot of lyrics that are very powerful like that. But yeah, typically the songs are upbeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, peppy, even if he's talking about some really heavy shit, like, it's kind of like hiding behind this, like, up, like, we love that, like,
yeah,
we've talked a lot about how we love that contrast, but this song is not
this upbeat. Was heartbreaking,
this, yeah, song, like, the music is dark, it's haunting, like, it goes really hard, and, like, it is not, he's not hiding this darkness behind.
This is probably the song that stuck in my head the most because, yeah, of that, you know, beat and stuff. It's just, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. It's, like, powerful. It has some, like, really cool, like, where it feels like it's, like, building and getting really chaotic, which I've talked about, like, a couple of Beatles songs that do that. Like, and I feel like I like that. I feel like I brought it up
when
with,
he starts singing, like, fast, right?
Yes. And it, like, okay, picks up the pace. And then there's, like, something off about the beat. And it, like, it's, like, unsettling because it's, like, I feel like I don't know, like, exactly what it's called. But just, like, it's not on the beat. It's, like, on the off beat. Like, and so it just sounds chaotic in a way. And then, like, it builds and then it, like, suddenly stops and like it's quiet again, like that is just like so like, I don't know. It's
when
just
he
like
started like singing fast like that. Listen to Tom Petty's Refugee.
Okay. Because
there's a part of the song where he starts doing that.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. So, yeah. Man, and, I just thought it was, and the lyrics too, like, let's see, the past a man locked eyes, there goes time. And I'm like, you know, oh my God, right away it makes you like, time goes by fast and stuff. And just, yeah. Sounds just so like heart-wrenching, I guess.
Yeah.
That's kind of what then, I got out of it.
This is like, you know, maybe just my brain making this connection because we obviously talk about Stranger Things all the time, but I know that was a really big part of his life too. But mm-hmm. I feel like I need some more people to listen and see if they can hear this, because at the end, towards the end of the song where it's like really just going all crazy, there's this like it's almost to me sounds a little bit like the Stranger Things theme song, but like distorted and chaotic. And maybe,
really?
Maybe I'm sure that probably wasn't intentional at all. Like, but, you know, I mean, it's like I'm sure he's heard that so much in his life. Like,
I mean, it's a good beat, you know?
Yeah. And it is a really cool beat, but like it's subtle, but like it has this kind of electronic sort of like
synthesizer
feel,
yeah,
at the end there.
It could have been him like doing it. Like that's how fast the years were going by. That was,
yeah,
a big part of his
because
life.
Because there like, was like the word stranger at the beginning of that song too. So
I just love the, I want to say it's pre-chorus where it's like, this is when he starts talking like fast. He's like, another step to take back, another regret. You're just going to let the fear take that.
Just,
it keeps getting faster
that
and faster.
And it repeats. Just going to let fear take that. Are you just going to let fear take that? Like, oof.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's intense. And he talked about how it has an interesting place narratively in the flow of the album, too, because it mm-hmm. is that like middle song. Is it on the front or the back? Is it the last song on the side A or is it the first song on side B on your vinyl?
I'm going to look. Hold on 1 second. That's a good question. Egg's the last song.
On side A. Yep.
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 Wow. This is at, like now like that I've heard the album a few times. This is kind of brilliant. The like the way he placed
yeah.
it.
And that's
thank
what
you,
he
Mr. Carey.
That's what he talked about, how the first part of the album was that breakup. Like,
yep.
And then it's kind of like that's that transformation. And then when you turn the album over, you start with Fly and it's like such a tone shift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy.
Almost like knowing what I have to do now to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go to Charlie's Garden, which
yeah.
is upbeat.
Yeah.
Gap-tooth smile.
The
again,
whole, the whole second half of the album.
And
is
then it's basically
so...
family, family,
yes.
family.
Yeah.
Good for you, Megan. Oh,
I
my
know.
God.
So I kind of prefer the first half of the album
mm-hmm.
because I think my top three are Egg, Link, and Lonesome as a State of Mind. But like, I think it's going to take me a little bit longer to appreciate the second half of the album as much because I just like, I like that, like the grittiness of like.
You're
that.
Like, I like pain?
Yeah. Like the second half of the album is so light and fun.
He's like, I'm doing okay, guys. But he's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, let's get you back in that pain.
Yeah, pain.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad that you're doing well, Joe.
Hey, my name is Candace, and The Crux has quickly become one of my top comfort albums. I think Joe's vulnerability is both empowering and inspiring. And has actually, you know, inspired some of my own poetry recently, which I think is really cool. I think it's also really beautiful how the themes of getting back to your heart and leaning on the people who get you have kind of created this map that's now helping the rest of us to do the same. Basically, I just think that Joe and his music are like the gifts that keep on giving, and I can't wait to like continue to listen to this album and really get new meanings from it as time passes.
When I first heard the album all the way through for the first time, my body had this visceral reaction, and I don't remember an album making me full body weep in a long time. You can feel his vulnerability and love and soul in every song, and I can't wait to see him live because I think it'll be a religious experience that will stay with me for a long time.
So, Fly. Gorgeous song.
Him softly whispering to himself, counting down in the beginning. Adorable.
That was really sweet. Yeah. And this was total Fleetwood Mac vibes. I said that.
100%. Breaking toxic cycles, just basically, instead of stick, like, you know how I always say that thing, like, you know, as soon as you leave your comfort zone, you're truly making progress. Kind of almost like, I have to accept what I have to move on from.
Yeah.
So, pretty song.
Yeah. And it's like that, the beginning of just like, I'm going to go, I'm going to move on. I got to fly. So I love it. That's the song that has the lyric, I followed every winding road, which is like the long and winding road, the Beatles.
Which I love that you showed me your friend's costume back in college. And I go, Abbey Road, thinking I was such hot shit. And I'm like,
no,
what?
It was a Beatles costume party I was showing Stacey pictures of. I also sent all of those pictures to Emily. I'm like spamming her.
Love that.
But I was across the universe, and like one of my friends like painted like this whole like universe scene on my face. But one of my friends was dressed in black with yellow lines down the middle, like he looked like a road, but then he had just condom packets taped all over himself. And
Stacey's, you know what? Let's do it yourself as a college student.
Abbey Road. I was like, no, why don't we do it in the road?
I was beside myself. I was like, that's the real name of it.
Hi, I'm Lizzie, and I just wanted to give my 2 cents on the Crux. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the fact that it's a no skip album. And I think this gives credit to Joe for making such a lovely, inspiring, beautiful album that relates to so many different people in so many different ways. And I think everyone has their favourite song, but I think it relates to them in a different way. And I like the fact that when he started this process, it was a breakup album. And he was trying to heal and move forward in his life. But it slowly became inclusive of the people around him and celebrating them and their support and their love. And I think that's really important in terms of having a well-rounded community that helps uplift you and supports you during this process, I think is really important. And he can look back on this in years to come and be like, these were the people that were there for me no matter what. So I really like that aspect of it. I'm going to mention a couple of songs. I'm trying not to speak too much. The first song that I want to talk about is Gap to Smile. And I think this is particularly relatable to me because I'm turning 29 this year. And I think it's an incredibly emotional, relatable song to me at this present time. The second song that I want to talk about is Back on You, because I think everyone loses loved ones and everyone goes through the grief and the heartbreak that brings, and I think it brings back those memories and you have to move forward for them. And I think that's a really incredibly emotional aspect of life, because everyone feels the same emotions, but no one ever teaches you about grief, and it's something that is not really talked about. So those are the two that I would say are probably up there for my favourites. I also really like Charlie's Garden, because it relates to Charlie Heaton, and I love Charlie Heaton and I like their friendship. So those are probably my top three. So I'm going to end it there, but thank you for including me.
Charlie's Garden. This song. So fun.
Like, as soon as the piano started, I just imagined either Snoopy or Ralph the dog from The Muppets. Like, it just seems so upbeat and happy, you know?
Yeah. So also, I was making a lot of personal connections here. First of all, when the voice memo thing from Charlie Heaton came on at the listening party, I was like, I flipped out. I'm like, oh my gosh. And a couple people were like, who is it? And I was like, that's Charlie Heaton.
Shut up.
And they were like, well, why doesn't he have a British accent? And I feel like that's what a lot of people have been talking about online. But I'm pretty sure like what the voice memo is supposed to be emulating is like somebody calling Joe from set and saying like whether or not they're going to need him for that day, like, or whether
it just happens to be voiced by Charlie Heaton.
Yeah, which makes sense because
it wouldn't have vibed as well if he had done it with the accent. He knew what he was doing.
Right. And I recognized it immediately because I've heard Charlie's American accent lots as Jonathan. Like, I know that voice. Like,
that does make me wonder, though. I'm like, do you carry the accent around with you? Can you slip in and out of it that easily?
Yeah, I bet that. I mean, I don't know Charlie's process, but I bet that when he's around all of them and he's doing, like, he was doing Jonathan, like, all day long, he probably would, like, stay in it, but I don't know.
That's like JQ. Remember, he was, like, having a panic attack being like, do I sound American enough? And Charlie's like, you're on this road alone. I can't help you.
Yeah.
Good for you, Charlie.
But
what's this like song about?
So they it's so cute because they were like neighbors and their backyards like connected. So it was basically just, you know, about hanging out in Charlie's backyard, and like there's a reference to Penny scratching at the door. I'm like, we heard Joe talk about how he would like dog sit for them.
We got a preview of this song, okay? Yeah.
Like, and because it was this whole story of like Lucky, who's Maya Hawke's dog, was also at Charlie and Natalia's house, and he was like letting them all out in the backyard like while they were all away, and so like basically that's what he's talking about, like just being by himself in their backyard.
He really loves that backyard. I love that he's like, there's a ping pong table, and I'm like,
I love the line where he talks about he's gets up and like the man's out with a rake in his hand. Like, he's talking about Charlie. Like, I love picturing Charlie out, like, doing his gardening.
Doing gardening and, you know, I love that.
Yeah, it's so cute. Just to kind of, like, have a little bit of a picture into, like, his life and, like, you know.
It was
We kind of got that.
Paying tribute to his friends,
yeah,
you know,
and
obviously
cool.
his time down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and we got that when we got to, like, meet him down there, and just to hear that like memorialized in song was like such a cute experience.
Just so cute. Like, he is us. Like, I could see myself literally thinking I lost my friend's dog.
Yeah.
And being in a panic, but also like, you know, seeing your friend and remembering all the good times you had, you know, probably like sitting out drinking, you know, playing ping pong in that garden. So
yeah.
Adorable. But
so
I love
fun.
That he did that. And he had a cameo, like you said. So really, really cute.
I love a collective album, and that's exactly what The Crux is. You can totally tell that Joe put so much effort into putting these songs together the way he did, and that's totally my favorite part about it. I like albums that I can just like put on. I can just put it on and like enjoy it. And every song is so unique and different than the other, and I love that. I love the fact that it's not just like streamlined into one version of what an album should be. It's almost like different variations of different genres, and that's something I really like. But I have to say, my favorite part is probably, I love the song Charlie's Garden, and the part when he like, it's the fat back shank of the day. I love that line. It's such a good, fun play on words. And genuinely, that song just makes me, like, so happy. You can't help but smile listening to Charlie's Garden. You really can't.
Gap tooth smile. I love, because we've only heard him doing it live.
Yeah.
Studio version. Beautiful. Major
10
queen.
Out of 10. Yes.
10 out of 10. Queen vibes. 1990 vibes, makes you just want to fall in love. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. And I mean, there's that Queen reference. We've talked about this song, and like, mm-hmm. Now we know all of the lyrics, which most
now
of them.
Now we know he isn't saying Superman.
Yeah. Most of them we got right, but.
I was adamant. I'm like, guys, it's Superman. You know, no, Stacey.
You can just sing it Superman at the show. But like, I'm so excited to be at a show and count down to 29. Or count
oh
up, count up.
Which I gotta say, like we've mentioned before in our other mini episodes, like everything was very deliberate. he wants to be interactive with his audience, have him count all the way up to 29. Like, that's just like the Whispering Fool. Like,
yeah,
that's very Queen, you know? Love it.
Hi, guys. It's Kelly, a.k.a. Joe Carey Daly. So I almost forgot to do this because I'm a mess, but I wanted to just say a couple things about Joe's new album, The Crux, which came out, was it last week? I don't know. Time all blurs together. And honestly, out of all of his albums, and you know how I feel about 2020, it is my favorite. This one truly is his best, and it's my new favorite, which I kind of had a feeling that it would be, just because, you know, from what was released and what we saw. I'm really excited to see the songs played live, especially Get Through Smile, obviously, because I love that song. But honestly, all the songs are just perfect and they're beautiful. Golden Line is great. I can't listen to it much because it makes me really sad, but it's beautiful. The Crux is beautiful too. It gives me like that Paul McCartney, you know, Beatles, Golden Slumber kind of vibe, which I do love a lot. It's one of my favorite Beatles songs. But no, I really can't say, like, I can't even really put into words how good it is. I just really enjoy it, and I can't wait to keep listening to it and just keep, you know, picking up on things that maybe I missed the first time around. And I'm excited, again, to hear the songs live and experience it that way, because that's the best way to experience music, is live with the artist in front of you. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Golden Line.
Is this one of your favorites?
So good. My top three, I believe, let me see if I'm looking at them right. It was Link. It was, nope.
Okay, this is the one I thought that you would be obsessed with. Maybe you will eventually. This one gives me the most Figure You Out vibes.
It definitely did remind me of that song the most.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I thought you would love it.
This was the Barry Manilow, Neil Diamond song.
I literally texted Stacey, Golden Line is giving Barry Manilow.
And right away I go, oh my God, that's exactly who, because that was my King Harvest. I'm like, who does he sound like? Sounded just like one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
It's very pretty, and he wrote it for his parents.
Which, oh my God.
It's just like such a sweet song, just like wanting to make them proud, and that they, like, you know, set that high bar for him and like basically made him who he is, and adorable.
Adorable. And just the little like snippets that we got, you know, at Upside Down Con, he was like, I only watch my final projects with my sisters and my parents. Clearly very close. So it's really sweet that he had them involved and then paid this tribute to these people who literally raised like the greatest guy ever.
Absolutely.
But very pretty.
Hello, this is Shawnee from Daily Cup of Joe. Yeah, my first impression of The Crux, well, when I first heard Golden Line, I was a sobbing mess. I just cried throughout the whole first time I listened to that song, because it just reminded me of my deceased father, whom I loved very much. And I still miss him sometimes. And my deceased grandparents who, you know, that song just really reminds me of all my loved ones. And especially of my mom, who thankfully is still alive. And she helps me take care of myself while I recover from chronic pain. And that line of, how will I ever repay you for all that you give me, it's just, I'm crying right now, I'm sorry, but it's just, my mom does everything for me, my dad gave me so many beautiful gifts before he passed, so did my grandparents, and I'm forever grateful to them because of it. And I love that song, even though I don't like to listen to it too much because it might make me cry. Although I didn't cry today when I listened to it, but yeah, I love that song. And Back on You reminds me of my friends, who I always lean on them for support. Yeah, so thank you.
All right. This is Back on You.
This is my favorite.
Okay.
Link's my second favorite. Back on You is my favorite.
It's so good. And it's a little hard. I wasn't sure at the listening party if the choir was at the end of Golden Line or the beginning of Back on You.
You couldn't tell.
Because you can't really tell with like the transition. So it's funny that it is at the beginning of Back on You. And it's, we had seen, I guess, on Instagram that like this Brooklyn Youth Choir or chorus had been involved in this project. I feel like we weren't sure if that was supposed to have been like leaked.
Yeah.
But at the listening party, I was like, oh, I'm in Brooklyn. This is the Brooklyn Youth Chorus. I wonder if any of these girls are like here right now.
Are they in the room right now? I love that he got a goddamn choir. Like,
and they sounded beautiful. Like, gorgeous. It was, yes.
It gave me, and I remember texting you, I went, it's like Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want with the choir in the beginning. Yeah. I was like, I see you, Joe.
Yes. Ugh. And I immediately at the listening party also, once Back on You, like not the choir part started, I was like, this is Post Animal. Like he has the chorus, like the verse about his sisters, but then he has the verse about like basically his friends and how he never had a brother, but he can't say that anymore.
Thank you. Cause I wanted to ask you about that. Cause I was like, I love that it's about the sisters, but then I go, I think he's also talking about friends that he abuses siblings.
Yes.
I'm like, is that what you got out of it?
That's what I got out of it too. And I don't think, I doubt he would ever say like one specific person that was about because
that
I feel
can
like,
get you in trouble.
Well, and I think it could be just general about so many of his friends. And I feel like it was about
all goddamn Dave.
Yeah, he's got so many great friends. Like, good for him. You can, that just shows what a great guy he is, that he has stayed in touch with so many people from high school, from college, from
his
jobs.
Which is almost unheard of, that like, many people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like people love him so much and
people want to be around him. Yeah. He wants to be around them.
And he does a good job keeping up with those friendships and making opportunities to hang out, which is hard.
Like the fact that with Post Animal, like first of all, as soon as he went on tour with them, I was like, this is amazing. And he kept going, this is such a cool opportunity. I get to go on tour with my friends.
Yeah.
And I've seen the performances. He's like, he keeps praising them. Like, guys, give it up for these guys and this and that. Like, he loves his friends. And I said, like, as we have siblings, like, you have a friend for life. That's amazing. But if you're really lucky and you meet friends that you see as family, your chosen family, you're lucky. And I think he's a lot of chosen family as well as a very strong family. So,
yeah. I relate to that, too, because I have a pretty big group of friends that I've stayed in touch with since college. And it's like they are like my sisters that I never had a sister. So it's like, I immediately recognized that Post Animal was on this track as well, because I remembered seeing them in the studio with him. And I was like, this is Post Animal. Like, this is his bandmates, because the sound, you can tell it's very Post Animal.
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes so much sense that he named the tour the Back on You
Back
tour.
Back on You.
Because he's with his friends.
I swear to God, you just blew my mind.
I said that at the listening party. I was like, I put all the puzzle pieces together.
Guys, my mind is fucking blown right now.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Of course it would be my favorite one. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. And
but
they're
like, just so cool that he had them singing like his sister's backup. He had them in performing and doing backup. Like, here you are in a room with your closest friends and family. Like,
it's amazing.
So, so good. And I just like, I mean, I know I have the lyric, just trust me, you'll be fine. I was always like, I don't know if Caroline ever said that, but it's, you know, enter Caroline with yeah. end of beginning. And I'm like, maybe that's something she once said to him. So the fact that he did a song with all of his sisters, and then, like you said, all of his friends, and just almost like, this is who I am now, you know, yeah. good or bad. These are the people who stuck by me. You know, I just want friends to have my back, you know.
Yeah.
He's very repetitive about that, that he's a simple guy, but he wants good friends and family.
Yeah.
And they've kind of helped him through this to become the Joe he is today. So this yeah. was gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. All-time favorite. And that's what makes life, like your relationships with your family and your friends. And like, I mean, significant others are great, but like
they come and go.
Yeah. You've got those people that are like, you know, there forever. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's awesome.
The Crux is really a beautiful album. It is such a monumental statement to where Joe is in his life, his career, and you know, it's allowed him to step out and be more authentic, and it's just so heartwarming to see and hear all the hard work, struggles, and you know, everything that he's been through to create this album and these songs. Yeah, it's just an incredible album that I just like didn't really expect, if I'm honest. Like during my first listen, I was just like, oh my gosh, it just kept getting better, and I just didn't know where to direct my emotions because it was just so different yet so him. And I'm just super proud of him and everyone involved, and I'm so happy that he feels okay to like share that sensitive side of him and his life with us through music. And yeah, I'm just super proud. It's a great album, and I just know it's gonna go up from here.
So The Crux, the final song on the album, another
a little more Barry and Neil.
Yep, another gorgeous song. Like, just, it's just beautiful.
It was the perfect ending track, I
yes.
believe.
It sort of leaves you with like a sense of peace. And I love how he's talked about in this other interview that I just watched today, how he's hanging out of that window, like he's getting out of this Crux hotel. Like he's not climbing in the window, like he's jumping out, like he's getting out of it. So
good for him. Mm-hmm. Ass first, it breaks the fall. Forever and Always, like Billy Joel, Wings by, you know,
Paul McCartney.
John, what the fuck's the matter with me? Paul, Linda.
He said his favorite Beatle was Paul on that interview, too.
Look at that. I mean, we all saw footage of Paul back in the day. Come on. Live and let die. But I love that, you know, like we said, his dad helped him with it and stuff. I mean, I kind of got a little bit of Elton John and Radiohead, believe it or not.
Okay. I like that.
But I love that this was the final song. And I believe it was the final song on the second night of Portland. And the encore was Flash Mountain.
Yeah, he's been switching it out a little bit. But he's been playing this one on the piano, like sitting down and playing it.
He just looks like he's having a blast, but this was his most personal album, and I think most therapeutic album, and I'm so glad that that song went viral off Decide when he was just like, oh, a little silly project. Now he gets to tour with his best friends, you know, he had his family yeah. involved, and he got to, like, do his, like, dream project, but just the fact that we heard so many artists that he probably loves so much, we got to hear all his little effects. I mean, I am so excited to see it live because, as Tony, my late mother, said, music is magic. So just, we're going to be in a huge arena, you know, a venue with all these people singing the same lyric. And he always looks so goddamn floored and happy that they're singing along with his words.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to cry. Like, get ready. It's going to be ugly, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Snots and all.
So this was super fun to just kind of get our initial thoughts. It's going to be very fun, there's a lot of these songs that I want to talk a lot more about.
Most definitely.
We'll get there, but these were basically just our initial thoughts on the album and some of your initial thoughts on the album. There was another, I'm like just talking about this interview so much because I just listened, I just watched it today, but there's this moment in that interview where he was like, it doesn't really matter to him if there's a song off of this album that goes viral the way the End of Beginning goes viral.
Yeah.
What matters to him is that the people who were already fans find something to connect with on this album. And I mean, job done, sir.
Oh my God. Like, job well done. Yeah. Like, I got to tell you, like, I'm so glad that you were the person that were like, you know, he plays music, right? And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, do what now? And that was winter 2023 before anything went viral. And I just, that was my baby for 2 years. Just listening to it on a loop, buying all the vinyls. Right away, I'm like, damn, I wish he had toured with it. You know, blah, 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 blah. And even though I'm not the biggest TikToker, trying to get better, guys, I said it before, social media can be a very toxic place sometimes. But I was making jokes the night of the ban, wink, wink, to Megan. I went, well, at least it served its purpose. We can say that while I was here. It helped Joe Carey go viral. And it did its thing. And it showed, which only Joe Carey would make kind of an anti-social media album. And that's what blew it up. But I like that people discovered that he wasn't just an actor. And then people that had already been fans were able to get the opportunity to see him tour, to get a new album and to do stuff like that and meet new fans and just be able to geek about his music, because music is magic.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been so fun to chat about it and to hear from everybody. And we will definitely be back with more bonus episodes, more mini Joe episodes, and we're continuing our season 3 rewatch for Stranger Things over on our regular episodes of the podcast. So definitely check us out. You can find us on social media, mostly on Instagram. Like Stacey said, we're not big on TikTok, but
not tickety talkies.
At Skull Rock Broadcast, I'm also at Steady Stories, and Stacey is at Stay Still Reviews. So come chat with us, come hang out, and we love, obviously, right now, just all things Joe.
Yeah, come stay at the Crux. We're in the lobby right now.
Yeah. All right. Peace out. Catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on the flip side.